contracts. They're like marriages. Everyone enters into them with the best of intentions, but sometimes they don't work out. Sometimes an agency has to terminate a contract, and when that happens, it requires the utmost care. Jamie Seibert is a director, and David Kirschbaum is a principal, both with the accounting and contracts advisory firm Baker Tilly. With advice for clean separations, they're standing by with Tom at the National Contract Management Association World Congress at National Harbor. Tom?
Thank you, Emily, and Jamie, and David. Great to have you on.
Thank you.
All right, so first of all, David, we'll ask you the first question. Is the termination phenomenon growing in the federal market?
Well, I don't know if it's growing, but I think with the uncertainty in the market that we have with budgeting and Congress, it's pretty certain that that will continue to make terminations an option, which contracts will have to face in the future.
And a government agency doesn't need a whole lot of grounds, right, to terminate a contract. It can be for convenience.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that really surprised us when we were researching for today's presentation, is that since 2010, there's been over 22,000 terminations for convenience.
Wow. And Jamie, what causes most of them? People get tired of each other. It's not really like a marriage. It's a commercial arrangement.
Right. And in today's environment, like David said, there's a lot of fiscal pressures, budget constraints. Also, you have the political pressures out there that, you know, certain services or products may be kind of on the hot seat, and they're up for, you know, debate whether they should be continued. But in addition to terminations, another thing that we see happening is contracts are let to expire and options aren't being exercised. Or perhaps they decide to de-scope the contract, a portion of that contract, not exercise options. So in addition to the 22,000 terminations that there have been since 2010, there has just been a lot of, you know, additional government strategies to reduce costs and end contracts early.
Do you think that all of these dashboards and performance measurements and metric systems that the government has put in place in the last 5 or 6 years and also policies to terminate contracts, almost like the Defense Department does, at certain trigger points that have been put in on the civilian side. Is that, do you think, contributed to this situation?
I think it very much has. I mean, obviously, if a government is able to manage their contractors better, they're going to be able to identify and decide which contracts aren't performing adequately and then make the decision, perhaps the tough decision, to terminate that contract for convenience, rather, or perhaps for default. If the contractor is not performing to the terms of the contract, perhaps the termination for default would be appropriate from the government's perspective.
And Jamie, you mentioned political pressure. What does that mean? How does that work in termination?
Well, you know, right now it's something, and, you know, David attended Tom Davis's speech last night, is that right
former
now...
Former Congressman Tom
right,
Davis
exactly,
speaking here
former
at the
Congressman,
Congress,
uh-huh. Right. He had mentioned that, you know, there's just this divided Congress right now, right? So everybody's got some competing interests.
And to that point, one of Congressman Davis's points is that the Congress and their staff have different objectives for the procurement process. Some have the objective of sharing the wealth with various small businesses or certain parties that they believe should be participating in the procurement process, and efficiency is not always the primary motivation. So those political pressures will obviously influence the decisions that are made as to whether to continue a particular contract, whether to terminate it, and perhaps achieve a different objective because a different congressional political pressure is now in play.
All right, so let's talk about what industries tend to produce the most terminations. Is it information technology? Is it professional services? Do we have a sense of where they mostly come? Or is it across the board?
I think it's, you know, pretty much across the board. You know, if you think about it, though, it's probably depending on the sectors. What's the hot sector right now? What's maybe not a hot sector? Where are the budget cuts coming? So if you're thinking about it from the contractor side, you want to be aware of what sector you're in and what the budget constraints are in that sector. And you know, having that communication with your government officials is extremely important.
And is there anything that a contractor can, are there signs they can look for or be aware of that might say to them, uh-oh, this thing could, I mean, short of a cure letter, for example, mm-hmm. are there other signs before official actions take place that might clue them to clean up their act before the termination happens? David?
Well, I think that the point we're really trying to bring across to the audience today from a contractor perspective is that everyone should be prepared for that possibility. There may be a more terminations in, say, information technology simply because there's more contracts in information technology. But if something like the F-35 were to be terminated, the impacts and the ripple through so many different subcontractors would be a significant impact. So every contractor out there should be prepared for the eventuality, whether or not they see the signs coming, because you just can't tell. There's an interesting example where that Jamie and I were involved in, where the contractor was performing extremely well on the contract. The government wanted the contract, but there was a legal ruling against them. And so in the end, that contract was terminated for convenience. And so you just can't tell what's coming down the line.
Yeah, I mean, like, take a company like USIS that has legal trouble with one respect of its business, but they just got a big contract for another part of their business. They never were on the debarment or suspension list, so the agency went with the contractor that was low price that could do it. But still, that might be one of those cases where some pressure might come in to terminate.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, the other area that you can think about as far as terminations is, you know, just performance as a whole and how you're performing, not just on your current contract, but, you know, across contracts and across agencies.
We're speaking with Jamie Cyber. She's a director, and David Kirschbaum is a principal at Baker Tilly, and you're giving a presentation here at the Contract Management World Congress We're in National Harbor, Maryland. There's
right.
So many nationals in this thing. It's National Contract Management Association at National Harbor. It's the World and the World Congress.
Right.
All right, so we got that one straight. So what about requirements? I mean, often the government is hit rightfully for not setting requirements properly in the first place and then changing them as the contract goes along, and that can cause friction or lack of performance. What can contractors do in that case, or maybe just walk away from one if the requirements aren't clear?
I mean, the contractor always has the option of, you know, if they're, let's say it could be a breach of contract, that's always a possibility. You could also, you know, submit a request for an equitable adjustment. If the government is submitting changes to the contract and it's a unilateral change without the contractor really having any option to, you know, accept it or not. That's kind of goes with the termination we just helped out on. There were a lot of constructive changes that were done resulted in, you know, eventually additional funds being available for the contractor.
Sure.
Well, we're very excited to have Paul DeBolt from Venable Law Firm joining us on the panel today, and he'll be able to address a lot of the legal requirements associated with those types of things. But one thing that I think it's important for contractors to understand is that proper contract management and the discipline it requires needs to be executed from day one. What usually happens, or often happens, I should say, is that early in a contract, there's a lot of emphasis on partnering and working together. And so constructive changes will come down from the government. But to keep a good relationship, the contractor may decide or may not appropriately document those changes. They may not put notice into place that they consider it a notice or consider it a change. And so in the end, when perhaps the contract is terminated, they may be left holding a significant amount of cost associated with those changes because they didn't manage them properly to start with.
So in other words, when the word comes in that you got the contract, never mind the champagne, now you really got to get down
That's
to business.
Right.
Exactly.
That's right.
I wanted to ask you also about the budget situation because of the ongoing, year after year, continuing resolutions. Last year was even worse with a shutdown and suspension of funding. Does that tend to make agencies a little more trigger happy because they're worried they won't have the funds or they might get into an anti-deficiency situation? And can that environment of the budget process cause more terminations?
I think it certainly could. I mean, it's the uncertainty. Obviously, the agencies have to manage their budgets as best as possible. And the uncertainty of not knowing whether additional money will be in the budget next year or whether the government will be functioning. My understanding is that sequester is being held off for a few more years. But according to Congressman Davis yesterday, there's no evidence in sight that the gridlock in Washington will really change.
Sure.
And if it doesn't change, we can expect the same things we've found in the last couple of years to happen again. And the natural way to manage the procurement process, which is easy pickings for Congress and the agencies, is to cut on procurement and
so
terminate more contracts and also cut back on contracting officer training and various other things that Congressman Davis mentioned.
In other words, don't wait around for things to change because we're in salt water. You're not going to go freshwater fishing anytime soon.
No.
And we like to view proper contract management and thinking about terminations as cheap insurance. You want to, if the unfortunate event occurs, you want to be able to get back what you're fairly owed from the government. And in order to do that, you need to be prepared up front.
And in your experience, so we mentioned cure letters earlier, which is what the government will do before terminating to tell people cure, I mean like fix this, you know, cure it. Do those tend to help and get things back on alignment, or is it usually just a formality and the termination is coming?
You know, I think that's a it depends answer. And, you know, it's really on the contractor when they receive that cure notice to do something about it. Don't just set it aside, not pay attention to it. Take immediate action as soon as you get that cure notice to try to, you know, fix, get things back and, you know, let the government know how you're going to get things either back on schedule or you're going to fix your performance issues so you don't end up for that termination for default.
And do we have any cases on record of the contractor saying, you know what, I can't fulfill this, see you later, Charlie, or does that never happen?
Well, that's usually not an avenue I would suggest people take, not at the time you get a cure notice.
All right, Jamie Seibert is a director, and David Kirschbaum is a principal at the accounting and contracts advisory firm Baker Tilly. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.